Welcome to The Real Fake News on KPCRadio.com, a critically sarcastic analysis of news. In this show, we'll differentiate the real news from the fake, with help from comedians, college professors, advocates, and experts. In this episode, we will discuss politics and elections. Today is Wednesday, February 20th. It's 1:39 p.m. I'm your host, Jesse Bertel. Joining me here today, we have LA comedian Josh Novy and political science professor Kathleen Holland. Hi, how's it going?
Good, how you doing?
Pretty good, thanks for being here. So our discussion will be formatted as a game of real news, fake news, where I present real news stories or fake news stories, and I'll ask you questions about it. Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, well, now that we know the rules, let's play the game.
Insert soundtrack.
Technical difficulties.
Can you just do it like a do it with your mouth?
Something like that. Okay, so in fake news, according to the Washington Post, Pelosi is right that we should forget about impeaching Trump. Should we? What interest does the Washington Post have in business as usual? What do you think about this?
I'm going to let you go first because you're smart.
I think I'm smart. Rumor has it. Washington Post is a legitimate newspaper, so it's not in their best interest to do fake news. Nancy Pelosi, in terms of what she said about impeachment, we do need to take a deep look into what she really said. She says in impeachment, not now, but she's not ruling it out. She says, unless there is compelling evidence that both parties can support and advocate impeachment for, then we can talk about impeachment. But right now, there's nothing there.
Okay. You know, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think that she should try to get him impeached.
Yeah.
Just specifically Pelosi. Because here's the thing. All right, Trump gets thrown out, right? Mike Pence becomes president. Who becomes vice president?
Not Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. Not according to the Constitution. We can do this all day, couldn't we? No.
Listen, I did my research. Okay?
Who should we believe,
okay,
the comedian or the political
science?
What
did you use,
science?
My dear?
Okay, listen. I used Wikipedia. I used Fox News.
So you're really into fake news, aren't you?
I love fake news.
You're just a big
news.
Fan of them.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
How does it really work? If Mike Pence becomes president, he gets to nominate someone to be the next vice president, and the Senate will get to say yes or no to that nomination, and it does not involve Nancy Pelosi. Here's the thing, though. If you want Nancy Pelosi to become president, here's what you do. You have to find a way of getting rid of Donald Trump and Mike Pence because she's third in line to the presidency. She's not second in line to the vice presidency. But if you get rid of Trump and Pence at the same time, you can promote her into the presidency. Now, here's the question. Do we want Nancy Pelosi as president?
I don't know.
In San Francisco, I think you'll get a resounding yes. But in other parts of the country, the Deep South, they'll scream bloody murder and become suicidal, I think. Because she is a rather controversial person unto herself. But don't underestimate how smart she is as a politician.
Well, I have a history of underestimating women, so...
I'm so sorry.
No, okay.
Well, her expertise is women in politics.
I know. Yeah.
So from that perspective, what is the importance and implication of what Pelosi said?
Well, the implication is that even though she doesn't want to discuss it now, it's not completely off the table. She kind of said that it's off the table, but she said now it's not on the table. She's not... close the idea of later on down the road impeaching him, but she's thinking how the impeachment process works.
Right.
It starts with the House, where they would, then impeachment means you are indicting the president, charging him with a crime, and then you have to put him on an impeachment trial. The Senate becomes the jury. This is what she's thinking about. Who controls the Senate? The Republicans. The Republicans right now are not ready to throw Donald Trump out of office. They're just not there yet. This is why she's saying we need really compelling reasons, evidence, cold, hard evidence that even the Republicans cannot deny that make them agree, yeah, we need to rethink Trump and maybe throw him out.
Well, if we're looking for facts that people can't deny, I don't think we're ever going to find those.
Well, because,
I know people that believe the Earth is flat and vaccines are bad for us. So let's go ahead and call that one a wash.
And we have compelling evidence to prove that those are not true.
Yeah,
the Earth is not flat, and vaccines don't kill people.
You don't believe
and
it.
I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm just saying that I haven't died of rubella.
You could die from measles.
You can.
You do. Okay. Rubella, I'm not so sure about. I haven't looked at that evidence. So.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to our next news story. So in real news, according to AP News, California reaches the highest level of registered voters since 1996. Nearly 79% of residents who are eligible are now registered to vote. This marks the first time voter registration in California has reached nearly 20 million. What is the significance of this, and will it even matter in a national election?
It could, because what California has done is instead of having a June in primary, which is 3 to 4 months after everybody else has cast their done their primary work, we moved our primary next year up to March to make us competitive so that our vote will count in who becomes the presidential candidates for either party. So that it's not just the number of voters, but it's the fact that we've moved the primary up to March, because March is an incredibly busy month. The majority of the states will have their primary in March. And so we're just going to put ourselves right in the middle of all that chaos and have a little fun and rumble and have our little rumble with all the other states. But we'll have a bigger impact in determining who the candidate would actually be. In years past, when we have our primary in June, everybody else has been done for 2 to 3, 4 months. And we're just kind of, oh, yeah, by the way, we want to weigh in now. And it really does California voters a huge disservice by doing it in June. So we're better off doing it in March. Now, others, people will argue that if we do it in March, that only lengthens the presidential campaign season from March to November instead of June to November. And, you know, as a nation, we do get weary pretty quickly mentally. And there's a little bit of fatigue going on when we have such a long presidential campaign, because right now they're going on 2 years. We got people campaigning now. And it's only the early 2019, and the election is November 2020. We've got almost a 2-year time period where people are campaigning. I guarantee you, a year from now, when we have our primaries, people will start to feel the exhaustion and feeling the fatigue of it. And it's just overwhelming, because that's all we hear about. That's all we talk about. Yeah. And
they haven't stopped talking about the 2016.
Exactly. And so people, that's
why. I still talk about the 2000 elections. I don't even know.
I still talk about the 2000, but only what happened in Florida, but not the other states, because it was so crazy. There's other words I can use to describe it, but I'm not allowed to cuss on air.
Here's my take. I think we have 20 million voters in California. Should we? Have you talked to anybody in California ever? We're all morons. Yeah, we are.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we are.
Only some of us are morons.
I'm saying.
And we're not naming names. Okay.
I'm not naming names either. I'm just saying all of us.
Okay. Why do you think we're morons?
Because have you talked to anybody here? We spend our time looking at people who, there are suntan places in California, in LA. We live in a place of constant sunshine, and yet there we have sun tanning beds.
I think they got those everywhere.
Yeah, but
we obsess over it here in California.
I get it in like Minnesota. You know, Minnesota, it makes sense because, you know, it's a tundra.
Oh. In Minnesota, that's the only way they get sunshine in the wintertime.
Right. Yeah. Right. You heat your house by burning, you know, your livestock.
Fossil fuels.
And I don't know. I think it's great. Everybody's a voter. But
not everybody votes. So even though we have 20 million registered voters, not everybody's going to turn out to vote. But it's just, it gives us more power. But then again, you have to look at a more global perspective. We're the most populous state. So it does make sense mathematically that we have the most voters. Now, getting them to go out and vote, that is always going to be a challenge, no matter what party you belong to, or even if you're registered as an independent with no party affiliation.
Well, you know, what the problem is that we don't have we have really strict gun laws here, so we can't force people to vote at gunpoint anymore. And is that something sad?
You think we...
do you really think that would help get people to vote?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell them which way to vote. I'm just saying, if you had a gun to somebody's face and it was like, "Hey, why don't you vote for somebody?" You think they would?
Ooh,
Okay.
Well, how's this for an idea? How's this for an idea? In
this
Australia.
I can see like your veins in your head are just popping.
Are they? I've got, yeah. Okay, go back to the doctor for more Botox. actually, in Australia, if you don't vote, you get fined.
Oh, really?
Yeah, equal to $100 American dollars. So I think actually, I like the idea of encouraging people to go out and vote, but not a gunpoint. Mm. That's a little scary to
what
most
about,
people.
Like, paint gun?
A little
paint
dictatory.
Paint gun. How about a water gun?
I could do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fill it with rum.
That's a good idea. Like tequila. Like in Cancun.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, I'm going to go ahead and.
And if my students are listening to me, please know I'm joking when I say these crazy things. Okay.
All right. Let's go to the next news story. Still not working. Let's play again. So in fake news, the Young Turks reports that according to footage released by New York Times, Maduro didn't set fire to the trucks during protests in Venezuela, as claimed by Trump. So with propaganda coming from both sides, how do we know what's true about what's going on in Venezuela and with all the corporate interest involved especially?
Well, I did see the film footage that, you know, sets us a clip on that. And then I went to the New York Times and saw their clip. Interestingly enough, their film clip was a few seconds longer because there was a female journalist that was filming at the scene. And she went to where the guy threw the Molotov cocktails. And then she went further beyond where he stood and walked around and did some additional footage. But it's clear that Maduro himself did not set the trucks on fire. You could tell that by looking at the videos. But you can see a guy throwing a couple of Molotov cocktails, and one of them landed on a truck, and the trucks eventually all caught on fire. I want to know who that guy is. What was he protesting? Was he protesting on behalf of Maduro, or was he protesting against Maduro, or he was some other flake from some other organization?
Or he just hates that truck.
Or he hates the fact
hate
that
trucks.
There's he hates just, trucks.
There's just
know.
That one though. He's like, that truck insulted my wife.
Yeah.
And then he goes after it.
I was supposed to buy that truck and somebody else. Yeah. 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 So.
Got a truck in.
I want to know who that guy is that actually threw it, because I want to know what his motivations are.
Okay. So, I mean, I know Venezuela is a really, especially with what's going on democratically, or supposedly democratically, is there something that you think really, I mean, do you think there's anything to this or do you think it's fake news?
And no, in terms of film footage, I think that gives us good evidence that something's really awry in Venezuela. What I found interesting is that somebody said something about the trucks having medicine on it, which there was no medicine on the trucks. And we had several senators repeat it verbatim as if it were true, and including Senator Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, who happens to be Hispanic in origin. They verbatim accepted the newsflash. That's where the fake news really takes off, is you hear one story about Maduro bombing trucks, and then once somebody repeats it, that's where fake news really takes off, because, you know, Marco Rubio should have known better than to just repeat what somebody said. What he should have done was look at all different types of reports about that incident and make a decision for himself, saying, okay, there was a person that set that fire on truck. We don't know if he was a Maduro supporter or a protester, and we need more information. So to me, that for that particular story, that's where fake news really took off, when people start repeating something without looking deeper into what the story is really about.
Well, I personally get all of my news from Marco Rubio. So,
oh, okay.
Whatever he says, I say, okay, that sounds right.
Would you vote for him for president?
I actually would. So I lived in Iowa during the caucuses, the last one, and I got to meet almost all the candidates, and Marco Rubio was the least insane.
No, I'm crazy enough to agree with you.
Yeah.
That he is the least insane of the Republican candidates ever running for president, because we've seen others that are much, much crazier.
Oh, bonkers.
Yeah.
Bonkers.
Absolutely
they
bonkers.
They should be wearing clown suits.
Well, one of them is.
All right. We ready for the next news story?
Okay.
Okay, let's see if this works this time.
Insert sound. Oh, my God. It worked.
Yay. I got it working.
Yeah.
All right, quiet down there. All right, so in real news, according to The Hill, Trump will likely win re-election in 2020 because of the overcrowded Democratic primary and because he's the incumbent. Is this true? Is he going to win, or can he be defeated? How?
I wish it weren't true, but it is. There's something to be said about the story. It's funny because 2 years ago, the Republican field was overcrowded with so many Republicans, and people were just throwing their hands up in the air thinking, oh, God, what am I going to do now? And we're kind of doing the same thing now with the Democrats. Everybody's jumping in and hoping to make nice with the voters to get the nomination. I think it's way too many. I think there's, you know, we have some really good people putting their names in and throwing in their hats into the ring. But I think for some of them, it's too soon and they're not ready for prime time type of a thing. But so it's going to be an interesting mashup on the Democratic side over who might be bold enough, strong enough, interesting enough, or funny enough to replace Donald Trump. But Donald Trump is the incumbent. And the Hill's got a very good point in saying that incumbency factor wins. If you're incumbent, it's stronger that you will likely to get reelected. It's no guarantee. Ask the Orange County Republicans who lost their seats in November. They were assuredly going to seek reelection, and they got overthrown by Democrats. So, but the other issue is that the economy's actually doing pretty good. It's not in the tank. It's not. We're not in a deep recession. We're not in a depression. And if the economy is good enough for people to say, I'm okay with the economy, then, yeah, I'll reelect these guys. No matter what else I don't like about these guys, if the economy is good, we'll stick with them.
Yeah, and like I think I agree with you. We don't have a good candidate yet to take on Trump. You know, because, I mean, Kanye hasn't officially declared.
The Rock was going to run.
The Rock? I was going to go for like a Kanye The Rock.
No, I think The Rock was really planning on running eventually. He had said like a year ago, oh, I think I will run this next. But I haven't heard anything.
Wouldn't it be amazing if the presidency was like based off of an arm wrestling competition?
I was just thinking about that. You know, because Trump has involved the wrestling world for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rock, what's his athletic experience?
He was an NFL player. He did wrestling for a long time.
So if we put the two of them into a wrestling ring and base the presidency on whoever wins that match, wouldn't that be so much fun? Totally unrealistic, of course. The parties would freak over this, but, you know. But, you know, Michael Moore, the documentarian, several years ago, back in the 90s, actually, suggested that having the presidential candidates take the SAT exams. And whoever gets a higher score gets to be president. And whoever gets a lower score has to take those remedial courses for SAT and promise never to run for election again for at least another 10 years.
Okay.
So, you know, and because we're thinking about what's happening with the colleges, that story that broke yesterday about all these, you know, wealthy elite children who had people taking SAT scores for them.
Yeah. Aunt Becky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so disappointed in Aunt Becky.
I know.
I loved her. Yeah.
All right.
I knew her she was before Aunt Becky.
You know, if in 1996 you asked me, you said, okay, Donald Trump, Lori Loughlin, which one of these two are going to be in jail in 2019?
Not Lori Loughlin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's in FBI custody this morning.
Yeah.
Who? Go figure.
All right. Well, let's play again. In fake news, according to Fox News, the mainstream fake news, Democrats' new campaign reforms are a war on free speech, they said. HR1 attempts to curb money in politics. Oh, no. Institutes public financing for congressional races. Oh, my. Requires disclosure of taxes, and presidential candidates would make Election Day a national holiday. Wow, that's scary stuff. Is it a war on speech? Does this constitute a war on speech, as Fox is saying? And why would Fox News lie?
Okay, that's a whole... Why would Fox News lie? It's a whole other program that will take 4 hours to figure it out. And
I was being sarcastic, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm being sarcastic and serious at the same time, you know, but if that's possible.
This a war on free speech or anything like it?
You know, the reason why they're claiming it's a war on free speech is because several years ago, the first year that Barack Obama was in office, the Supreme Court reined in on the Citizens United case. And basically what they said is that campaign donations of any size is protected by the freedom of speech aspect of the First Amendment. So that basically opened the door to no limitations.
Right.
And so what the Democrats are trying to do is rein that back in by imposing limits. They're not saying you can't make political donations. We're just going to limit the amount you can give to political parties, interest groups, and we already have limits for political parties and individual candidates. It's just what the super elite can do, like the Koch brothers. They can spend upwards to $200 million in other areas, mm-hmm. running television ads and radio ads and so on. And so the Democrats are just trying to rein that in. So the bill is actually, what you said about the bill is actually pretty on target. The idea is just...
Why would this scare Fox News? It sounds like all good stuff. I mean...
It sounds like good things for Democrats, but for Republicans...
Well, for democracy.
Democracy in itself. But one of the things that it does is it controls gerrymandering.
Yeah.
And that is a huge benefit to Republicans right now.
Republicans do rely on kind of dirty game.
Yeah. Just kind of like these parents who bought their kids a seat, and it's kind of that same kind of money... laundering kind of weird stuff going on. So, yeah, so I can see why the Republicans would be certainly nervous about it. Now, but here's the thing. The House passed it last week. It hasn't gone to the Senate, and it certainly hasn't gone to the president for his approval, and I doubt the president will sign it into law. So there's no certainty it's going to gain enough traction to actually become law. But it's certainly a starting point in a conversation about campaign financing and gerrymandering, too.
Okay. All right. Well, let's play again.
We love our sound effects.
All right. So this will be our final news story. In real news, according to the Daily Beast, Bernie Sanders' campaign is building a competitive campaign to win the primary. So does Bernie Sanders stand a chance this election, or will he face the same pushback from the DNC that he did in 2016?
You know what? I think we're seeing the same old Bernie Sanders, but a new atmosphere. A new environment, because 2 years ago he dropped in on Hillary Clinton. The DNC chairman at the time, Debbie Wasserman Schultz from Florida, she was the chairman of the DNC, and she made it very clear very early on that Hillary was going to be the candidate for the Democrats, and he was seen as an interloper. Had the nerve of Bernie Sanders to show up. And besides, he wasn't even a Democrat; he was a Democratic Socialist from a different party. But this time, there's a lot of young voters that have learned about him. They figured him out. And voters who are young enough to think socialism isn't such a bad thing. You know, if you listen to the old white men of the Republican Party, socialism is something satanic and evil, and never mind the fact that Social Security is actually a socialistic kind of a thing. So is public education. You know, we got a lot of younger voters are thinking, you know, democratic socialism can work in this country when you compare what we do here with the Western European countries that are democratic socialist. The idea is supporting individuals in their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And we have some more democratic socialists who got elected this last November into the House of Representatives. So I think he may stand a really good chance. He's popular enough still. He's irascible. He's everybody's favorite grandpa that's mm-hmm. fun to hang out with. I don't know if he'll get the
killer
nomination.
Killer Mike is on his side. That's a big one.
Oh, well, there
you
go.
You know?
He's going to win now.
I think he's got a great chance of getting at least the nomination. I think I don't know if the DNC is gonna back him because of the whole thing. I think he has a better chance just going independent and seeing how he does on his own.
That would be a very interesting tactic. But from past experience, anyone who comes in as an independent, we saw this with Ralph Nader mm-hmm. several years ago. The media, mainstream media, will kick his hiney big time. I almost said a cuss word. Anyway,
see that? The comedian
almost.
Didn't do it,
but the teacher
comedian didn't do it. The teacher did.
The Irish Catholic teacher.
I win this one.
We were trying to just go through, like, brush that under, but thanks for emphasizing.
I just want to make sure that everybody knows
the comedian wins the verbal
mom.
Argument. Okay, every time.
He didn't mess up. You did good.
I did pretty
good. You did good. You made it this whole. We're almost done, and you didn't cuss once. Thank you.
I did pretty good. Actually,
I stopped myself. I want to go on record. I didn't say the full word. Okay.
Yeah, I think this whole Bernie Sanders situation. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out.
Oh yeah.
I think Bernie will have a really good shot in places that people can get marijuana legally. And I don't think he's going to do great in the Midwest. In Iowa and Missouri, I don't think he's going to do super great.
Right.
In the blue districts, I don't, but we'll see.
We'll have to see it plays out.
All right.
Out.
Well, unfortunately, we are about out of time. Oh, but before we go, I would like to give you both a chance to tell our listeners where they can find out more about you. Kathleen, did you want to start?
Well, I'm here at Pierce College. I will be around for the summer session. So summer session signups will be coming at the end of the month into April. So I'll be around for the summertime and back in the fall semester. So I'm on campus. My office is in the Birch Building, 1105, if you want to come and talk. And that's where to find me. Or just drop in one of my classes to say hi.
Great. So. Josh?
Next Tuesday, you can catch me at Dude's Brewery in Santa Monica. The following Wednesday, you can catch me at the Hollywood Hotel. You can look my, I have a comedy special on Amazon, or you can follow me at Josh Novi, and you can see a whole bunch of pictures of my dog, which is all I ever post.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for joining me here today on The Real Fake News.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for having us. I had fun.
Thanks,
a lot of fun.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Patreon at Jesse Bertel. Tune in to The Real Fake News every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. on kpcradio.com and YouTube. That was the wrong one. Come on.
I'm so glad this is a comedy show.
Got it!